Well, this is Jesus' first homily, and it went over so well that they tried to throw him off a cliff. You all have been very kind to me thus far, and so if any of you invites me to go hiking out at Levis Mound, I'll think twice about it. Are you prejudiced? Now, if we were to answer that question, say somebody actually posed that question to us, if we answer that question with the restricted definition of prejudice as it is used today, then we would all, I'm sure, rightly answer no. Because when we use the word prejudice today, we equivocate that with racist. But that word prejudice is not limited to simply that usage. As we know, the word prejudice means to prejudge. It rightly is used in terms of racism, prejudging somebody because of the color of their skin, therefore they will do this or they're like that. But if we answer that question with a broader contextual use of it, meaning do we prejudge things and people in all different contexts? I can only speak for me, but then I have to say, yeah, I'm prejudiced. I do prejudge things. It happens in our society all the time, and it's something that's happened, I'm sure, in the whole history of mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve. But we tend to take it out of hand as almost acceptable. In fact, it's even glorified in some ways. You ever heard of the name of a singer by the name of Paul Potts? That name probably is not going to ring a bell with you unless you're an avid YouTube watcher or you're a fan of opera. Paul Potts is a man from England. And in 2007, his wife kind of goaded him into entering this new talent show on TV called Britain's Got Talent. His wife knew that he had a talent, but he had been so beaten as a young person because of the way he looked and the way he acted, he lost all confidence. So, against his better judgment, he entered. When it came time for him to do his audition, his first performance before the judges, celebrity judges, when they spoke to him, he could scarcely look at them. And he couldn't smile. He tried not to smile. Because when he did, half of one of his teeth was missing. He had this somewhat frumpy sport coat on. And they asked him, "Paul, what are you here for today?" And he said, "To sing opera." And they panned to the crowd, and you saw the judges and all the other judges in the seats, the audience, look at each other like, this ought to be good. And then they hit play on the backup music in the introduction to Nessun Dorma, one of the great operatic songs of all time, probably one of the most recorded, began to play, which I'm sure just elevated their skepticism. And then he began to sing. By the end of his rendition, they stood screaming and applauding. It was so good. And then when the crowd calmed down, the judges, or shall I call them the pre-judges, said, "Paul, you're a car phone salesman and you did that? I wasn't expecting that." No? How come? Because he didn't fit the preconceived notion of what some star might actually look like. After all, it's the beautiful people, isn't it? It's the someones of society. They got to look a certain way, and then, yes, what will come is worth watching. Pol Potts has toured the world many times since then. And he's still married to that same woman who he fell in love with and she fell in love with back before he wasn't nothing. Why do I bring this up? To illustrate how we can easily prejudge. We all recognize that, and we all at one level abhor that. But I would submit to you, that's precisely what they did to Jesus. Isn't this the son of Joseph? Who is Joseph? Nobody. Quiet. His wife Mary, quiet. He was just, quote unquote, just a construction worker. My best friend back home, Tom, is a master carpenter. Been doing it his whole life. Even before he was out of high school. One day I was home visiting and I was over at his house. And I forget what we were talking about, and he said, yeah, he said, you know, this person in our class is doing that, and Todd Penegor is CEO of Wendy's Corporation. He said, you're a priest. He said, I'm just a carpenter. And I looked at him and I said, don't you ever say that again. I said, you build homes for people. I couldn't imagine doing what you do. And it doesn't matter that I can't, because you can, and you do. You see, they did the same thing to Jesus, and I would submit to you that we still prejudge Jesus to this day. How? I think we have a tendency to anticipate what he's going to do or how he should do what he should do. We have a tendency to anticipate and to prejudge how God's going to speak to me, how he's going to answer my prayers, or that he should answer them the way I want. We prejudge Jesus. We can prejudge the faith. Well, if I but have faith, then therefore this should happen and that should not happen, particularly suffering. Many problems with that, and we all get caught up in it, me first. But you know what the greatest problem is with that? Sometimes we just miss the beautiful work of God. Because it comes in ways we don't expect. But if we have a presupposition of how it's supposed to be, the answer to his prayer might pass us by and we didn't even recognize it. The help that he intended to give us might have walked past in the form of a Pol Potts, for example. Last week, I did celebrate the Masses on Sunday, and I mentioned Kersiel and how it had such a profound impact in my life. One of the operative phrases of Kersiel during the weekend to help the men or the women who are making that weekend not to get ahead of things is this: participate, don't anticipate. Participate, don't anticipate. And I think that works very well for our faith. If we approach the faith to say, God, give me the grace to let you act the way you want in my life, then we'll recognize the Paul Potts of the world. It's just Jesus coming in the form of someone else. Someone we just didn't expect. But oh, what a gift he gives us through them.